Just put it in there. I mean, we may get to it, we may not. We got to make sure we have a good answer. So it's not going to be like blind, here, what is this? Oh, I don't know. So that won't be happening. But yeah, so, and like Carrie said, if you don't submit any questions, it's going to be a super short service. So maybe that's what you're after. Maybe that's your outcome that you want. So if that's the case, then yeah, then just don't submit anything. No, we'll just come up with some questions. And then the other thing, this is kind of off the cuff, but it just happened. Anyone hear about that Luka AD trade that happened in the middle of the night? The Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks?
No, didn't hear about
that. Nobody heard about that? Okay. Well, it was pretty crazy. So, sorry, sports, that's it. No more of that. But it was, my buddy, he texted me at 5:30 in the morning, and I thought, I can't believe you would text me at 5:30 in the morning. And I was up, and I was like, yeah, I can't believe that just happened. So I guess he knows me. Anyway, so seeking the Lord and seeking a pastor, that's what we're talking about this morning for real. And I was talking to someone this week, and I'm going to just kind of let you in on a little something for me. You know, I'm a big time like driver doer, like to kind of fix and solve and do all that stuff. And that can be good, but it also can be very bad, right? Because I tend to take, you know, things into my own hands, and I don't trust the Lord the way that I should sometimes. And I have to slow down and think, okay, God, what are you telling me to do in this situation? What should I do? And, you know, and of course, you know, we feel the weight. By the way, if you're new here, I am not the pastor. I should qualify that. So we are searching for a pastor right now. We're actually going to start that search in earnest this Thursday. The pastor search committee will be meeting for the first time. So, but anyway, so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I'm an elder here, and there's a lot of responsibility you feel like with that. And so you start thinking and doing and, you know, I was counseled. Let's not forget that it's up to God. And the most important thing that we can do in all this is to pray, right? And to start with prayer, continue with prayer, to end with prayer. And, you know, the thing is that I was thinking about that. It was just so good to hear that, you know. You know, when the world starts to talking about prayer, it's like a last resort, right? When you hear, oh, well, we did this, now we just got to pray because we're at a loss, right? But when the church thinks about prayer, it's full of hope and faith, and it's the first thing we go to, amen. It's not, well, we did this, and nothing else is working, so let's just pray because we don't know what else to do. It starts with prayer because that is the most important and best thing that we can do in this process. So with that, I sort of surprised him, but I'd like Marlon to come up here, and he's going to lead us in prayer about our search for a pastor. You got applause. I'm sure he loves this whole thing. Let me just tell you. Yeah, you can get that one probably. Let's see if it's.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord. We know that you're a loving God, you're a caring God, and Lord, that we know that you care about New Hope Community Church. Lord, we know that you love New Hope Community Church. But Lord, we are now asking for your guidance and your wisdom in the Pastor Search Committee as they move forward, Lord, that you not only work in our own lives, but you work in the life of New Hope Community Church. As we move forward, we're seeking your wisdom, not the guy that we want, but the guy that you want, Lord. And especially we're praying for you to work in the heart of our future pastor, that you'll just lay that desire on him to be a part of us, to be willing to come to the desert. Lord, we also know that there are more churches searching for pastors than there are pastors. But Lord, we know that you have one out there that's you're working on, and Lord, we're just seeking your wisdom to get contacted with the right person in the right place at the right time to bring him in so that he can continue the work here at New Hope Community Church. But Lord, especially that you just work with the Pastor Search Committee, that you just work in each one of their hearts and have the Holy Spirit work in them. But we're seeking your wisdom as we move forward here. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, buddy. So so this morning we're talking about specifically about a pastor. And there's when we're thinking about that, in the sort of work that I do and in professional development, a lot of times it starts with a definition. It's funny because, I don't know, have you ever been in a group where you're all talking about something and you realize that no one knows what really they're talking about?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like with like, you know, nuclear physics or something.
Yeah,
you know, fusion, yeah. Depleted uranium, yeah. And then no one knows, you really don't know, you know what I mean? And so there's some terminologies that we use with the role of pastor, and they kind of have a different nuance with them, and I think it's important to really kind of talk about what those words mean. So let's first go with elder. So what is an elder? Okay, so these are kind of almost interchangeable terms. You know, they kind of mean the same thing. Maybe it's something slightly different, but there's kind of a consistency with what they mean. So an elder, the Greek word is presbyteros, and that defines an elder as a senior. Okay, so it's a guy who's really been around for a while, one thing. So he's not new to the faith. And there's a certain level of responsibility, okay? And there's a certain level of authority that comes with eldership, okay? So then the next one is an overseer. So that's another term that we'll see in the Bible when we're talking about leadership in the church, pastor. There's elder, and then there's overseer. The Greek word's episkopos, and which means overseer, bishop, and guardian. And that is defined by Strong's as a superintendent of the church. Okay? And you're like, okay, that's cool. But what does a superintendent really mean? I know it's someone that runs a school district, you know. But what does that mean? Okay? So a superintendent is a manager, a director, an administrator, a supervisor, a custodian, a watchman. So all these words kind of go into what it means to be an overseer or a superintendent, which means an overseer, okay? So it's that kind of where it's this watching, this guard, this taking care of, okay? Overseeing, you know, that sort of guardianship. That's an overseer. So you got elder, you got overseer, and then you got pastor, okay? Poimenos is the Greek word for pastor, and that means a shepherd, a feeder, a protector, a ruler of the flock of men, okay? So that's a pastor, and the word, you know, kind of, you know, it kind of sounds like, oh, a pastor, shepherd, you know, it kind of, it has that same sort of like root meaning. So that's what a pastor is. So it has that sort of characteristic of a caretaker of a flock. So there's those three like leadership positions in the church. But we say that we have a pastor search committee. We're looking for a pastor. So normally when we talk about, you know, the fellow that's up there preaching and, you know, kind of is running things at the church, that's a pastor, okay? It's more complicated than that in a lot of ways, but in general, you know, that's what we're searching for. So, again, those sort of things that are kind of consistent with those three, who's someone who's not new to the faith, okay? So you can't, you know, generally it's not a brand new person that just comes up there and is preaching and is leading the church, okay? It's someone that's been in the faith for some time. And it's someone who is in charge and who cares for, okay? So those, and it's, obviously it's bigger, and there's a lot of different aspects and more complications to that. But, I mean, that sums up a lot of the pastor's responsibility. The pastor is in charge, you know, of the church, and cares for the church, okay? And so then I got to thinking, all right, someone who's in charge and who cares for. So who else is someone who is in charge and who cares for the church? What's the right answer, like 90% of the time in church? Jesus! Yeah. Right? Yes, yeah, what you learn in Bible school, right? And Sunday school. You're like, oh, it's Jesus. Okay, yeah, good job. Yeah, so Jesus, and really, there's some parallels with Jesus and what Jesus does for the church and what who Jesus is and the pastor of the church, okay? It's like, I mean, we are reflections of Christ. Christians are little Christs, that's what that means. So there's some similarities with how we ought to be and how Jesus did, right? Jesus modeled things for us and we're supposed to follow in his ways, right? And the pastor of a church, it's the same thing. There are certain things and certain roles that are like Christ. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 25. I'm going to read the whole thing. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So you see there, it's right there, shepherd and overseer, right? And so that same terminology is used to describe Jesus, the same terminology that we use to talk about some of the a pastor and the responsibilities of a pastor. Christ, he watches over us. He cares for us, and he's in charge. I mean, Jesus Christ is our King, right? And Christ is the head of the church. We know that. And Paul writes that in Colossians, okay? So that's what Jesus is, and that's who our head is ultimately. Titus 1:7 refers to now an overseer, when we're talking about that elder, overseer, and pastor, those positions in a church. An overseer is described as God's steward. Okay. So again, getting into definition, and right away, and this is why I wore the tie. Okay. Ultimately. Okay. Because when I hear the word steward, because I'm a Lord of the Rings nerd. By the way, this is the White Tree of Gondor. I received it as a Christmas present, and I have White Tree of Gondor socks. Pretty sick, right? Carrie said it was cool. I don't know. And I said, I don't know if I'd describe it as cool. Well, thank you, Sean. So anyway, in The Lord of the Rings, okay, you had this kingdom of Gondor, and they had a king, and the line of kings was broken because one of the kings did a dumb thing, and he went in and thought he was cool and tried to take on the big bad guy and got just destroyed. He got smoked. And so then the line of kings was broken, and they had a steward in place. And the stewards of Gondor ruled for, you know, ages and ages, okay? And they acted and served like a king in the king's stead. They were in charge. They called the shots. They took care of the kingdom. They made decisions to benefit the kingdom, right? Those are the stewards of Gondor. This dude, I don't know if you've seen the movie, but he's not the greatest steward. You know, he didn't want to give up his stewardship. And so, but I got to tell you, he's eating that Costco chicken, and it just looks so good to me. I love the Costco. And the cherry tomato, those kind of gross, the cherry tomato. But I love that Costco chicken. Anyway, but he didn't want to give it up, right? But he was in charge until, like, the king returned to the king, right? So the king came back, and the king is really in charge, okay? I mean, the steward was in charge until the king came back, right? The king is ultimately in charge. Jesus is in charge of the church. Christ is the head of the church. However, the pastor serves in an important role in the church, in leadership and guiding and providing for, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about. So, getting to the meat of things, what does a pastor do? Thinking, and now I will tell you, so he's just like shooting from the hip, right? So as a church and as a, we don't want to shoot from the hip and just like, I think this is what a pastor should do. We mean to consult scripture, what a pastor does, right? I mean, that's, you want rationale. And so what does a pastor do? The things that I have listed here are care for, lead, correct, and protect. And with Jesus being an overseer and a shepherd, these are things that Christ does for us. Christ cares for us. Christ leads us. He corrects us. He protects us, specifically with that role as a shepherd. And so because the pastor, that word is very similar, and there's just so many parallels, you know, I don't think it's a far stretch to say that these are the sorts of things that a pastor does for a church. And so the other interesting thing is, you know, I went to the 23rd Psalm, and it's something I preached on last time, but it just seemed to fit so well with these pastor responsibilities. So let's go ahead and go to the first part, care for. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. So Jesus, we lack nothing with Christ. He provides us sustenance. He provides peace. He refreshes our soul, right? That's something that pastors called to do too. And the thing is it's difficult in life, right? Yes. I mean, we encounter challenges, struggles that are very real and very definite, and God hears that, and God hurts for us seeing us when we encounter these things. But I think the refreshment that we receive as the body of Christ goes beyond even that. You know, we're called to be lights in the world. We're called to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. And it's nice when we've done that all week and however we're doing that. However God's calling us to share and tell the world about the good news of Jesus Christ. We do that through our week, and then we come here and we get that refreshment, you know, because that can be a challenge. You know, I mean, in fact, I would say it probably, if you're doing it right, it probably should be a challenge. You know, you should get some pushback. You should be kind of, you know, really, because, I mean, it's something that, you know, it's very important to us. We know what happens. We know what eternity can be, one way or the other. And so we do. We want to tell those that we love, those that we encounter, we want to tell them about Christ. And that can be a hard thing to do. And we get that refreshment here in church and from our pastor. Sermons, right? The pastor can refresh us through sermons. He can refresh us through praying for us, listening to us, being that ear. That is something that, you know, a pastor is a vital role, right? Is to know that when we're here together and one another, and we do this with one another too, right? I mean, it doesn't just stop with the pastor, and he doesn't hold that responsibility wholly, and then no one else, we all just show up. Obviously, we come here and we pray with one another, and we listen to each other. Maybe we're not all preaching on Sunday. I mean, you know. But that's something that the pastor provides that is that refreshment for the soul, okay? That refreshment that we need on, you know, an ongoing basis. Let's go to 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, 1 through 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Okay, so caring for, watching over the flock, an important role of the pastor. Also to lead. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The pastor is to lead the flock. And this, there's different paths that I see the pastor leading in. Okay, there's the spiritual paths, you know, leading us in how to pray, how to read our Bibles, how to minister to one another, minister to the world, right? There's the relationship paths that the pastor leads us in. God, our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouse, our family, friends, acquaintances. The pastor should lead in that, and the pastor should lead in even, dare I say, practical, like finances and health things. I mean, and it seems like this is a big list, you know. It's like, well, how does a pastor supposed to know all of this stuff? And that's a huge responsibility. But, you know, I equate it to, you know, like a doctor, okay? So, you know, you can, a doctor's, their wisdom isn't in memorizing a bunch of parts of the body, okay? I remember I was in anatomy, and I remember having to remember a bunch of stuff that I forgot years ago. I mean, it was just, okay, enough for the test, and now I'm done, right? And Yes, the pastor or the doctor knows about, you know, different parts of the body, but the wisdom is in the doctor knows the systems of the body and how they work. And that's how a doctor is able to diagnose, right? A doctor knows about the skeletal system or the respiratory system or the nervous system, right? It's how these things work together and how, and then that's how the doctor can figure out, okay, what's going on. And it's like a pastor, okay? The pastor doesn't know everything about, you know, let's say, how to make the best financial decisions necessarily, right? But there's underlying principles that a pastor knows and that he can communicate and can help guide us in, right? God first. What if God first was how we made financial decisions, everybody? Wouldn't that improve our finances? Or health, let's say. What if God first was, you know, it was how we drove our health and how we made decisions about how healthy we were, right? That would change probably our health for the better, okay? Generosity, selflessness, how, just anything, right? All these kind of principles that a pastor will reiterate with us and will share with us and guide with us and lead with us, those are the sorts of things that can just help all of us to live the life that God has called us to live and God wants for us, okay? So leading, it's like this big thing, but it's really more of just leading with these underlying principles. And then correct, okay? So even though I walk through the valley, through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So when I read this, you know, I've just, you know, first time or whatever, I don't remember the first time I read the 23rd Psalm, but, you know, I've equated that almost the same thing, rod and a staff, but they're two different things. Okay, there's a rod and then there's a staff. So for correction, it's the staff of correction, okay? So the staff was like this kind of longer, thinner, and it had like the hook on the end, right? The thing that you see and they're walking around, you know, and that's the staff. I got a picture of one, and that's, I think that's an authentic staff or, you know, from this time period. And a lot of times I know they'd get like a, they'd find a tree that had a natural hook, right? And that's what they would, oh, that'd make a good staff. I'm going to grab that, right? A shepherd would. And so, you know, with a staff, there's kind of two things, right? So you can prod the sheep, like, get back to the fold, you know, and just kind of nudge them with that blunt end, right? And God does that for us, right? God will nudge us, hey, you're going off track, little sheepy. Go back this way, you know, and just kind of nudging us along the way. And, you know, God will nudge and nudge and nudge and nudge. But sometimes it takes more than a nudging, right? Now, I try and live my life to where the nudges actually dictate what I do. That doesn't always work, because I don't want the hook. So, but sometimes God's got to give you the hook, right? And if you're getting way off track, then it's like, hey there, sheep, boom, and then it's more uncomfortable, and then it gets you on track, right? So that's how, you know, the shepherd corrects the sheep, and that's how God corrects us. And the pastor is called to correct the flock, the church. 1 Timothy 5:1-2, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. So the pastor encourages us to do what we're supposed to do, to live the lives that God has called us to live, right? To make good decisions, to put the Lord first, to put others before ourselves, like to live lives of generosity, of selflessness, to have a heart for people, right? And if we're getting off of that, the pastor is to correct us. And then there's the protection part. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So there was a staff, and then there was the rod. So the rod was more like short, it was shorter, and it was like a club. Okay. Now, probably sometimes, I know Jack talks about the 2x4, you know. Sometimes, you know, the sheep probably got the club. In all the shepherds that have ever lived and all the sheep they had to take care of, I'm sure there was one guy and there was one sheep, and he was like, you know what? That one deserves the club. And he just, bam, you know, because he wasn't getting it. But generally speaking, the rod was not for that purpose. The rod was to protect the sheep, right? The rod was to protect the sheep from wild animals, you know, because if the shepherd's out there by himself with these sheep, and remember, a lot of the shepherds, they were like, you know, kids. And so here comes this wolf, and, you know, he's like, okay, let's go. You know, I mean, they were pretty, they're tougher than I was. And when I was 12, I'd have been like, ah, you know. But, I mean, they were taking on wild animals with their club.
Right.
And so that's what the Lord does for us. God protects us from so much. I mean, let's be real. God has protected us from hell through Jesus Christ, right? God protects us, and God protects his church. And the pastor is called to protect the church. And the pastor is called on to do that. And a big one is a false doctrine. If there's a misunderstanding or someone spreading false doctrine in the church, the pastor is called to protect that. I know that sounds like maybe that's extreme, but it is true. But that's not the only purpose of the rod. In Leviticus chapter 27:32, every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. So the rod was also used to count. So it was a weapon against the wild animals or whatever, the dangers, but it was used to count the sheep, to make sure all the sheep were there. Isn't that beautiful? So in Matthew 18, 12 through 14, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he truly finds it, truly I tell you, he's happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. So, you know, I mean, just honestly, the world does not hold people as precious. The world does not care about people.
Right.
Now, there's people in the world that care about us deeply, right? But we see how the world operates. We know the evil that's there, and we know the ruler of the world. The world doesn't care about you. God cares about each and every one of you much more than we could even care about ourselves. Everyone in this room, Jesus loves deeply, and that's hard to even understand, because it's way more than how any one person loves another person. Jesus loves you that much, okay? And along that same line, a pastor loves each and every person in the flock. There is not one person that a pastor will not go after and get. He cares about the entire flock. And that is a beautiful thing. Does that mean the pastor's perfect? No. Pastors are people. And the minute that we hold them to this, we put them on this pedestal, and we see it time and again, right? We see in the news these pastors, these huge ministries, and there's that fall from grace, right? I mean, pastors are just people. They're no different. You know, when we put all our faith in, I'm just going to say it, we put all our faith in Joe Biden, we're going to get disappointed. We put all our faith in Donald Trump, we're going to get disappointed. Our faith as a church is in Jesus Christ, Amen. Him and him alone. And it's the same way with any leader. We put any leader of the church on a pedestal and put them, supersede that steward above the king, then we're going to be disappointed. And it's not fair to that pastor as well. But having said all that, a pastor loves his flock, counts his flock, and values and cherishes everyone here. Amen? Amen. So, with that, Carrie's going to come up here. And she's going to lead us in a song. And I'm going to pray. Father, we wait in eager anticipation, Jesus, for you to come back. If we didn't, there would be something wrong. We are just, we cannot wait until we get to just realize you fully and that you come back to earth and you make things right. And we just wait in eager anticipation. God, in that same way, we eagerly await the man that you have called to shepherd this church. Help us, Lord, to be, and just all of us, help my brothers and sisters and me be diligent in prayer and to continue to seek out your wisdom and just understand how important this is, Lord. God, you have someone in mind and we just need, and you have a path to walk and we just need to walk it, God. Give us the wisdom, give us the courage, give us the discipline, give us the humility, oh God, to walk in that path and to just fulfill your will wholly and completely and what you've called us to do in our search for a pastor. Thank you for that person. We pray for them right now. We pray that you would just bless them and Holy Spirit move them in such a way that they're like, I got to go to New Hope. I don't know why. It's in the middle of the desert. It's in Apple Valley. It's, you know, not where I thought I was going to go, but that's where you're calling me, God. And we just thank you for that. And we thank you that you are Lord of all and that we come to you boldly before your throne to obtain grace and mercy. In your name, Jesus, amen.